This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, man, how are you guys doing?
I just took a gratuitous shot at Demetrius Harris.
I know.
I don't want to see much of that anymore. I would rather see Cole Kmet. And I didn't understand why they threw two balls to him, one after the other, and then never again. It just didn't make sense to me. And I'm so confounded by this offense and what they're trying to do and what they can and can't do that it's just frustrating.
Well, I did ask Matt about that right after following the game, when Jeff and I had a chance to talk to him about, you know, are you going to, you know, take, you know, you got to give Cole more reps. You got to give Cole more opportunities. And if that is maybe taking away a completion away from Demetrius Harris, then I guess that has to be. So I think Matt was obviously open to thinking that way too. And I have the same frustrations with the offense that you do. There's just no plan A. It's almost like you have a plan of attack and you see how it works as the game winds on.
So Tom, first of all, before you get to the point of how it got this bad, you got to figure out how to fix it now. And so if you're looking at the offensive line as being the biggest problem on the Bears, and I think that's an easy conclusion to reach, how do you address it? I don't think you go out and you can find somebody on the street that's going to step in. Maybe you shake things up. Maybe you demote somebody. You try somebody new. What would be your approach?
You know, all those are good possibilities for sure. You know, I mean, there's no better way to wake up a room if you start dangling someone's job out in front of everybody. And I've been a part of that, you know, in both ways. And it is frustrating, but it is motivating at the same time. But if, you know, I guess if we're going to hear about the physical approach of the offensive line, you know, there has to be repeated evidence of it in the course of a game that results in domination at the line of scrimmage that allows David Montgomery to pick a hole and try to hit a hole with stride. Because to me, when you're avoiding tacklers 1 yard deep in the backfield, or you never really get a chance to, you know, to hit that running back stride, at least to get you to that, into that second level and stuff, it's just not happening. So I guess, you know, whittle down the plays. You know, if you have an abundance of plays that you're not getting enough practice time with the plays that you're most confident, then I think you're kind of hurting the progress of the offensive line, because you should be able to go out there in a running game and honestly, you know, have 5 plays that you run to perfection, but you may have 10 different window dressings with those plays and to keep running them. Because no matter if you look at the San Francisco offense or you look at the Rams offense, you know, a lot of the pre-snap window dressing is enough of a distraction where it can get you outside the contain, or maybe it can make you have a one-on-one opportunity with a back in the center of the defense. So, but, simplification is always an easy way to think that you can cure things, but, you know, it's about, you know, the overall performance of being more physical.
Tom Thayer at 7 o'clock is sponsored by Loyola Medicine. Feeling is believing. Visit feelingisbelieving.org. And, Tom, you know, I think just looking at the text line, talking to friends of mine, my brothers are overseas watching this, and their frustration is an interesting idea, this idea that over the years you'd watch great defensive teams with the Bears, and you'd always kind of look at the offensive coordinator, and it would be the defensive-minded head coach with the offensive coordinator that wasn't doing it or couldn't get it done, whatever way you want to term it. I think now what we're seeing is an offensive-minded head coach who's his own offensive coordinator, but the defense is still really good, and you're not seeing the complementary offense or any attempt to kind of be complementary. I'm not suggesting that you give up the scheme or you change who you are. Maybe just understand the limitations of what you're doing and the strength of the other side of the ball and play to that a little bit.
You're right. You know, it's kind of a different way of just saying, you know, simplify your approach there so you can be perfect every time that you run a play. And whether you have a limited amount of it or your opponent kind of knows what you're going to do, if you run them to perfection, you should still be able to get, you know, an average of more than 4 yards per play and, you know, to keep you on the field. And, you know, that's one of the things that is haunting the Bears is every time a series starts, I write the time on the clock. And then I look at when that series is over and what was the effective time of consumption, whether you're on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, and how does it affect who's ever going on the field. And when you talk about each end complementing the next, it hasn't been the case. But last night, I think it all accumulated, and what a hindrance the special teams was to starting field position. No confidence in catching punts. On kickoff return, there is a design point of attack. There is a design scheme and how you're going to return the ball. And it's difficult when they kick it in one corner and you already have the return designed on the other side of the field. It doesn't switch as the ball is in the air. It, you know, the process has started because of the distance you have to cover. And then all of a sudden, now you're putting an offense that has limitations and poor starting field position. And on the way up here, I heard you talking about Heckard, and I hate watching a punter that excited about kicking the football.
No kidding. I'm with you, Tom. Thank you very much. Tom, you know, we talk a lot in Chicago about the dual roles that Matt Nagy plays. He's, you know, the play caller and the head coach. And I think that after a night like last night, it sort of magnifies the challenge of doing both well. And I just wonder, when you look at how difficult the challenge is now to keep to repair the Bears' maybe collective psyche as a football team, at the same time, you've got to, as an offensive coordinator, make some tweaks to your personnel and to your game planning and to the scheme, perhaps. Those are two big jobs. And I just wonder, how would you prioritize those jobs, and how difficult is it for one guy to be responsible for both?
It is difficult because, all the other things that you have to put into the details of a head coaching job, and then you have to design the game plan and against, how much tape you're getting a chance to watch against the other opponent. I don't know if there are suggestions by the other coaches up there on the offensive side of the room, or this is just specific plays that, you know, Matt picks out and that those are the ones that you're going to rep during the week. It would be interesting to say, okay, Matt, if you're going to call the plays, allow John or John DeFilippo or Bill Lazor or Dave Ragone to, you know, chart plays as if they were calling plays, and let them, maybe if they're not calling them, let them in their own mind call a play what they would according to that down and distance, and then have a comparison between the two to say, okay, is Matt, with all of his responsibilities, seeing the field correctly, or are these guys that have less responsibilities on the table, are they seeing things offensively a little clearer that, you know, maybe you guys could, you know, make it not a joint effort in calling plays, but maybe it would steer your play caller in a different direction?
You know, there are so many things to go over. I got to tell you, I really was surprised at the numbers with penalties. They weren't nearly as bad as they seemed as I was watching the game. And Akeem Hicks got called a lot. I know there were a couple that were not
four times.
It was really crazy dumb penalties, frankly. I mean, I just didn't understand what was going on with Akeem. I know he'd been ill during the week, and I'm not offering him an excuse, but that's for a showcase game, a Monday Night Football game, crazy performance.
Yeah, you know, the one play that he hit the quarterback and they called late hit, but there was two penalties on it between he and Jalen Johnson, I believe. The first one that really disappointed me, though, on behalf of Akeem, because I never got to see a replay from behind him, but when he drove his hand into the chest of the offensive lineman, I'm not sure that he had a legal hand to the face. I just think that he had dominant power. And then the official that threw the flag was on the wrong side of being having a solid view of it. But nevertheless, and when you get a penalty like into the neutral zone and when you're so close to the football, and I think that's one of the advantages that these guys should have by now in this season is not paying attention to the cadence of the quarterback because you can hear it week in and week out. It's about, you know, having the discipline of paying attention to the football. But I'm with you. It's frustrating because on those third downs, when the Bears' defense seems to get them off the field and all of a sudden you look back or somewhere on the field and there's a penalty, it does become haunting because it fatigues the defense and you know you don't have the offense that's, you know, playing complementary football that can get you out of it.
Tom, it's not all in David Montgomery, certainly. We see the problems with the offensive line, but I do wonder, as somebody who understands the running game better than most, when you look at the possible options that they may have, you know, to look at Artavis Pierce, maybe Lamar Miller, would you recommend the Bears take a look at another running back to see if that lights a spark or ignites something offensively?
You know, if that's the case, I'd almost like to see a couple carries by Ryan Nall because, or Artavis Pierce. And the reason why is because they've been here since the beginning of camp. So they have a little bit understanding of the architect of the blocking scheme up front so they can have a pre-predicted position that they want to hit during the call of a play. If you bring in Lamar Miller or you bring in one of these guys that have limited snaps, then you're just going on the innate ability for an offense, for a running back to read the hole. And I don't know if that's the direction you want to go. To me, I need to cure what's going on up front. I'm still a fan of David Montgomery. And, you know, you look at from his late blitz pickup to his desire to be great, how difficult he is to tackle in space. I need the corrections up front with consistency than, you know, seeing if Lamar Miller sees it differently than David. But I'm not against using him for sure. You know, it's like a different play caller looking at the plays. It's different how one running back sees it as opposed to the next.
Tom, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, man. Have a good day. See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.